Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. Gosh, it's like I'm playing 16 again. Welcome in. We're off and running. It's a Friday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here at KGYM, 1600 AM, the main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Scott Unash, Mark Duke, Kyle Mann with you here today. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, with Alex and Kyle taking the mantle today. And that'll be coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock, and then we'll have Twins baseball coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. Who are the Twins playing?
Kansas City.
Tonight, the Royals, who took 2 out of 3 from the White Sox at the beginning of the week. So that will be coming up for you tonight at 7 o'clock, getting your weekend started in the world of sports. That will be on the North Gym, 107.5 FM. Terrific show coming your way. We are presented, as always, by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue, Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Locally owned and operated, place where families meet up again and again. Stop by, get your weekend off to a terrific start after work today. Also, be sure to join the Third Base Mug Club. It's $25. You get a lifetime membership of happy hour price beers and a free appetizer with every $100 you spend on food and drinks. Join today. It is that simple. Good show coming up. Jeremiah Davis will join us. Talk racing here in just a little bit. Plenty to talk about as far as the world of college football and the National Football League is concerned. As Mark Duke's Chicago Bears got on the field last night. The Monsters of the Midway to take on the Baltimore Ravens in the first preseason game, do not call it exhibition game, of the 2018 NFL season.
Well, some of the Bears got on the field. We should say it that way, because very few, if any, of the starters played. And this is one of 5 preseason games.
You're not happy about that.
You know, I think it's unnecessary, and we can talk about it. You can interact as well, 319-366-1600, our phone, and our Hertz Eden Stocker Jeweler text line. I tuned in because the Bears are my team. You know, I wanted to see a little bit of what was going on. It was dreadful.
The Bears were dreadful?
No, the game was dreadful.
Okay.
The very little that I take out. The most enjoyable part was the interviews with the Hall of Fame inductees. Sans Terrell Owens.
Yeah,
who is going to do his own thing at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, tomorrow.
Wonderful. Good for him. I'm done with Terrell Owens.
I am as well. Randy Moss, Jerry Kramer. Jerry Kramer
is such a cool guy, isn't he? Is he just the coolest guy in America?
He's one of them. I mean, he's a Packer, but that block he had delivered to send Bart Starr into the end zone in the Ice Bowl should be shown at every high school and college practice and film situation. It was just a textbook block and under trying circumstances, and he was wonderful. So the main take I got out of last night were the interviews with the Hall of Famers, which I thought were great. My guy, Brian Urlacher. I thought Randy Moss was really emotional and thoughtful about his induction. Aside from that, I wanted to see how the helmet rule was enforced.
Yeah.
And it came up on the second or third series. And Baltimore, I think, was flagged for at least 2, if not 3. And I thought it was administered pretty well without replay. We'll see how it goes throughout the season. But aside from that, it was a dreadful football game. 17-16 Baltimore. Not because of the result, don't get me wrong. It was backup stuff.
Yeah.
And 5 preseason games is way too much. And we'll ask you what you think at KGYMradio.com. This is not a new subject, but I think you and I both agree it's worth revisiting as it stands right now. Emil's Hideaway poll question: what is the optimal number of NFL preseason games? We give you 3 choices, 2, 3, or 4. And thanks, as always, to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. I've always maintained three.
I think three
is the right number.
I think three is the right number. And used to be more than that, though, I believe, when it was a 14-game season, regular season for the NFL. But now you've got 16. You made the comment yesterday, your Bears will be playing 21 games this year.
I mean, not everybody's going to play in all 21. But, yeah, 21-game scheduled, including the preseason. That's
way
too many.
That's a
lot of
football.
You could even have two preseason games and have a couple scrimmages along the way with different teams. I remember the Bears, when they were in Platteville, New Orleans had come in there and other teams as well.
In the Cheese League when they had it going.
Yeah, yeah. But five is way too many. I mean, if you're playing in the Hall of Fame game, why not take a week off?
I would agree with that.
And everybody plays four.
Nope, I would agree with it. What do you think out there? Hurtina Stacker Jewelers text line is open. Phone line open, 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in. As far as, and we're going to talk about this coming up. We're going to talk to Jeremiah Davis here in just a few minutes or so, talk with him about racing, and then we're going to open it up. We got some college football today. Matt Campbell, he had a few words prior to camp getting underway for the Iowa State Cyclones, because he had to address the situation, and then when he addressed the situation, he didn't do it to the satisfaction of members of some of the media anyway. Not saying the ones that follow Iowa State religiously, but some of the other people around the country. Oh, he sidestepped the issue. No, he didn't. We'll talk about that coming up. And want to get people's thought about their first NFL game with the new helmet rules.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fair and just. I watched most of the football game last night. I saw all four of the plays. Three were pretty cut and dry. There was one that was a little bit borderline. But I think, especially in the preseason, you're going to see the NFL officiating crews err on the side of caution and safety more than the opposite side of that. If there's even a doubt, I think they're going to be throwing a flag. And don't believe we saw it on the offense last night. It was all on the defense last night. So what do you think out there? Did they do a good job with it? 319-366-1600. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit as well. We got golf going on in many fronts, don't we?
We do indeed. Locally and nationally, the World Golf Championships at Firestone. Second round underway right now. A field of 72 or three players. Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids was on the morning wave today. Didn't get much of anything going. He shot an even par 70, which leaves him at minus one through two rounds. That's a tied for 34th. Zach struggling uncharacteristically off the tee. Has only hit 39% of his fairways through two rounds. Granted, it's not the easiest course in the world by any means, but that's, again, uncharacteristic of Zach not driving the ball well and not putting very well either. Noticed he missed some putts under 10 feet that when he's going well, really, he cans a lot of those. But, again, right now, Zach Johnson, 69 and 70 in the first two rounds of the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. Ian Poulter, Tommy Fleetwood, and Justin Thomas, your leaders right now, all are in the clubhouse at 11 under par. They are three clear of Siwoo Kim, Kyle Stanley, and then the rest of the field rounds out Tiger Woods. A lot of interest in him. He's two under on the day through nine, minus six for the tournament, tied for seventh.
Along with Rory McIlroy.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Finau in there as well. And some good scores again today. They blistered Firestone yesterday. I think it was around 68 for the average for the field. And that's unheard of at Firestone. That's a tough golf course. So we'll see. We'll let you know. We'll keep you updated. We'll keep an eye on what's happening out there in Ohio as Tiger is on the course right now.
They're playing the Iowa Open at Blue Top Ridge at Riverside. Our friend Brian Haas's course, Dan Woltman, with nine holes to go. He of Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. He has a two-stroke lead over Matthew Jennings of Prairie City, Iowa. Trip Kinney, an amateur out of Des Moines. He plays at Iowa State, right?
Yes.
Trip Kenny.
Trip Kenny does.
Brian Bullington, the former Hawkeye, tied for fifth. He's working on a 5-under par round right now through 14 holes. I mentioned our friend Brian Haas, and he is done for the day. He has finished in sixth or seventh. I can't get it up right now. I'm sorry. But he's on the course, shot one over par on his front nine, birdieing the ninth hole right now. He's contending for a top five finish.
All right.
Which would be great for Brian.
It would be. It'd be awesome. He's a senior now, you know.
I do indeed.
He's out there and getting it taken care of right there. We got, like to give you some results from the City AM in Cedar Rapids, but computer is not working on that. I think it's probably on their end. So we get those, we'll be sure to pass them along to you.
The City AM, the Senior City AM, and the Iowa City Amateur going on
this weekend.
Right now. So I mentioned to you Iowa basketball player Jordan Bohannon. I saw him in the tee times. Be interesting to see what Jordan shoots.
Good golfer.
Yeah.
Good golfer out there. It was a great day. It was a lot of fun. It was a little hot, and the greens at Jones were lightning fast. Very fast. Fastest I've ever seen them out there.
You are still not a whole favorite of hole number 16 at Jones.
No,
if you're unfamiliar, it's a par five.
No, I am not, Mark.
Water going down the left, rough down the right. You've got to hit. You got to hit the fairway, okay? And then there's a waste area. If you try to hit the green or they're close to it in two, most people will lay up twice and then try to hit the green there on their third shots.
Yeah, that's easier said than done.
Yes, easier said than done. It's
diabolical.
It's a bad hole.
It's a bad
hole. It's a bad hole. I'm sorry, City of Cedar Rapids. It's a bad hole.
You got a lot of good holes, but that one is not.
Not because... Well, you would have settled for a snowman on that hole, right?
Yes, I would have. I definitely would have. Mm. That would have beat it by one. But came back, did okay.
You did very well on the second nine, 1-under par 34, is that right?
Shot 30, which was the front, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Started on the back. 79 all together, but we'll take it. We'll take it.
On the text line regarding the preseason games, 0933 in the NFL, that is, I say let them play as many preseason games as possible. It's up to the teams to decide the amount of playing time, and they have extended rosters. Okay.
A lot of guys got to play in that second half last night that are not going to be around.
72-95. Play four preseason games with this change. 3 15-minute quarters. Less injury, it's practice, and eliminates wasted time.
But the NFL sells tickets as though it is a regular season game.
True enough.
I've always been to... You remember back to the days of preseason games at neutral sites.
Mm-hmm.
There was an NFL preseason game at Kingston Stadium.
More than one, yeah.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see one home game, one road game, and one neutral site game. So that way people can see. Like, play one at Kinnick Stadium. They played them at Camp Randall before.
Mm-hmm.
Packers played there.
It'd be very popular, I think.
I think it'd be great and have ticket prices a little bit lower, so you can get families in there and get kids in there to see the games. I think that would be a wonderful way to do it, but they did not ask me. They did not ask me.
David and Hudson, who is not high on the Bears this year, as I read yesterday's text line. We'll see about that, David.
Maybe he's a Bear fan that's just not buying in.
The one called on the Bears on third down cannot be called, and that is to be called them. I don't know how you tackle a receiver. Again, David and others, it's putting so much pressure on the officials because both players are moving.
Yeah.
We've talked about it multiple times, and I think it gets down to the intent. And that's a judgment call.
And that was the one that was a little bit, could have gone either way. And I, like I said at the beginning of the show, I think they're going to err, especially during the preseason, on the side of caution. And if there is a chance to throw the flag, they're going to throw the flag. Especially last night when everybody was football starved and most people did tune in. Hopefully you heard it on KGYM last night.
David and Hudson clarifying emphatically, by the way, I'm not a Bears fan.
Not a Bears fan. Okay, not a Bears fan. Well, if he's saying that the Bears are going to stink, it's got to be that he's a Viking fan or a Packer
fan. He's a KGYM fan.
He's a KGYM fan.
We know that much.
Fan. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that. 319. We got to take a break. Come back. We have our final Blink 182 tickets. We will give them away coming up here in just a little bit. But when we come back, Jeremiah Davis is going to join us, and we'll talk some local and national racing with Jeremiah as we do each Friday right after this here on KGYM.
The voice of a generation, Peter Cetera.
Ooh, no, baby, please don't go.
The Grammy Award winning Peter Cetera, Saturday, August 18th at 8 p.m., the Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines.
Together that we did it all for the glory of love.
With special guests, Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
You made me so very happy.
Peter Cetera, performing his hits. His hits from Chicago, Saturday, August 18th at 8, Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines. The legendary singer-songwriter, Peter Cetera. Reserve tickets on sale now through etix.com and at the State Fair ticket office. Convenience charges apply to all tickets. For more information, visit iowastatefair.org. Don't miss Peter Cetera live.
It's time for The Dating Game.
Bachelor number 3, tell me your ideal date.
Oh, I'd say a romantic, moonlit strawberries and champagne picnic on a bluff along the Wapsie, where I'll tell you how beautiful you are.
Okay, wow. And bachelor number 1?
My turn? Ideal date, I guess we would just listen to Smart Rock on Smart FM.
Number 1, definitely.
Wait, what?
You always win with Smart Rock on Smart FM.
Hi, this is Jamie from Cedar Ridge Winery and Distillery. Enjoy seasonal and classic cocktails on our patio, live music on Fridays and Sundays, even daily tours. Check out the music schedule at sierrawine.com and celebrate summer with Cedar Ridge. Cheers.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's makes it easy to save big on building materials to finish any job. Need doors? Right now you can save 10% on select interior doors and lock sets when you buy in bulk. Plus, save 5% on eligible purchases every day when you use your Lowe's business credit account. Stop by or visit lowesforpros.com for details. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. U.S. only.
Back on the Gym Class Friday edition here on KGYM. We're going to talk some football, more football coming up on Monday as Mark and Kyle will take you through next week. One final week of vacation and then back getting ready for football. By the way,
do I need a license for that?
What's that?
Steering the ship?
You have a license.
Oh, okay.
You have a license. You're
grandfathered in?
You are grandfathered in. Speaking of football, high school football, not too far in the distant future. Not tomorrow, but a week from Saturday, we will have our first Coach's Corner High School football preview. That'll be coming up on August the 11th. John Haggerty and myself will go over the Metro teams, and we'll have three of them on the 11th. I believe it is, without looking from memory, Xavier, Jefferson, and Prairie on the 11th at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, August the 11th.
And those will be archived.
Yes.
For podcasts,
yes,
so in case you miss them.
Yes, they will be. So that'll be coming up on August the 11th. We'll start that out. And looking forward to another great high school football season. Both the South Gym games and the Main and North Gym games are coming up around the corner right here on KGYM. Around the corner from us right now, Jeremiah Davis. You can give him a follow on Twitter at his personal account, then at the Inside Track JD. That is the Inside Track with Jeremiah Davis. Of course, talking all things racing locally and nationally, but a lot of local stuff here. So, happy August to you, Jeremiah. How you doing?
Yeah, when the heck did August happen? It's like just yesterday we were in April, right?
Yeah, we were having rain out after rain out, and it was cold, and then we were complaining about that, and now I guess we complain about it's too hot, right?
Well, it's been beautiful the last couple of weeks, and we've had a lot of racing around the area and a lot of big events. And, you know, as we get into August, you know, it's the one of the biggest times of the year in Iowa, especially if you're in central Iowa. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute, but it's just it's such a cool time of year. I mean, as we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, it's just big event after big event and gets a lot of big names out. And, you know, wish I could get to all of them, but you can't be in five places at once, I suppose.
Did sure. Knoxville and Tony Stewart happen since we last talked?
Yes. So, middle of last week, the Tony Stewart came and raced his 410 at Knoxville, or actually it was on, would have been Saturday night, actually. Take that back, because I did, went over to Iowa Speedway for the Xfinity race, and then hauled tail down to Knoxville to watch, and he was less than thrilled with how he ran, let's just put it that way. I never found the time, unfortunately, to write that story, but I was able to chat with him for just a minute after he was eliminated from the C main, which, if any of our listeners don't understand, when you have a ton of cars, you know, you have consolation races, and there was enough Arcat All-Star Sprint Car race or Sprint Car cars that they had a D main, and he started on the pole, the D, won the D, and did not make it into a transfer spot out of the C, and was very, very disappointed. The way he said it to me was that Knoxville was his holy grail, and that he loves that racetrack so much. And to come there with a crew chief who had won the Knoxville Nationals with Danny Lasoski, driving for Tony Stewart at the time, would have been 03 and 04. And the crew members he has and the equipment he has to not even make the B main, let alone not make the A, as a champion race car driver, one of the best wheelmen in the history of the sport. He was a little embarrassed, I think, and very, very just disappointed, kind of heartbroken to not even make the show. And he was kind enough to give me a few minutes, but not much more than that. True to his Tony Stewart reputation, I asked him for some time, and he kind of looked at me, stared a hole through my face, and said, "You can have a couple questions." And I politely acquiesced. I wasn't going to beg any more time from him than he was willing to give me, which, you know, he had every right to say, no thanks. I've had a rough night. I want to go watch from my suite. But he gave me a little bit of time, and it sucked for him, but the racing was great.
Yeah, and, well, two things that Tony Stewart, Knoxville Nationals and the Indy 500. Those are the two. He's done everything else, pretty much checked off the list. But those are the two things I know that has eluded him that eats at him.
Oh, for sure. And that's, you know, I think probably the Indy 500 is obviously the closest he ever came to winning one of the two was at Indy. You know, he led a bunch of laps. I want to say it was 96. Am I right about that, Scott?
It was, yeah, mid to late 90s. I know one of those races there. And then he had an expletive on national television that you can go look at on YouTube or whatever.
Yes. But, I mean, Knoxville-wise, I mean, he's won it as an owner 100 times between Danny Lasoski and Donnie Schatz. But, you know, he just he is the type of racer and type of person that he demands excellence from himself and from his teams. And when that doesn't happen, you know, he's going to be upset about it. And I don't blame him. I would be the same way. So it was overall, the racing was great that night. You know, they had 100 cars between the 360s and the 410s, and the track never took rubber. It was a great racing surface. Ian Madsen won, in the closing laps. Sammy Swindell had a strong run and earned himself a ride for the 410 Nationals in that 59 car, which was kind of up in the air. He didn't know if he was going to have a ride or not. So it was a cool event. I love getting down there. It's my favorite racetrack. I can't ever pass up an opportunity to go. And thankful to the group there that, you know, credentialed me as normal, and should be back at hopefully for Saturday night of the championship night a week from Saturday.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and now they look forward to the world-famous Knoxville Nationals coming up down there, which, again, and we've talked about this, whether it be state wrestling finals night, whether it be, Drake Relays Saturday. One of the things you got to check off on your list, if you're an Iowan, is Saturday night at the Knoxville Nationals. You got to do it.
100%. Doesn't matter if you're a racing fan or not. I think it's a sporting event in the state that deserves to be seen at least once. If you're a sports fan, the pageantry of the night, it's just absolutely packed. You know, a small southern Iowa town triples in size, doubles or triples in size, and everybody packs in. There's haulers parked in Walmart parking lot. There's souvenir trailers all over the place. Dingus, the bar across the street, is packed. It just is unrivaled, I think, especially in the racing world. Even Boone, I don't think, matches it because of there's just more people at Knoxville. It's kind of a, six in one and half dozen the other, actually, with those two events. But either way, it's a sight to behold. And when the A main rolls off and they're four wide and the stands are, packed, front to back, and they light the fireworks off and you hear the, you wanted the best four abreast, it gives me chills every single time. And if I could ever help it, I'm not missing it. That's for sure.
Jeremiah Davis joining us here at 3:30 on the Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Prior to Knoxville, you were in Newton. Close-up shot for the Iowa Speedway this year with the second of the Xfinity Series races. Another good race coming right down to the wire again. I guess talk about that. And then looked like it was a better crowd this time around. Weather was much more cooperative the second time around than it was about a month earlier.
For sure. A little bit better. I'm not going to sing the praises of something that's not, light years better. It was improved. We'll just call it that. But the racing was still great, as it usually is. And speaking of dirt racing, Christopher Bell, who the race itself wasn't an all-timer, in Iowa Speedway standards, but the finish sure was. They had one restart where they went four wide, and Justin Allgaier went from fourth to the lead, barely sneaking between the wall and Christopher Bell. And while Kyle Benjamin, did his best on the inside, and you got to you re-rack him, restack him, and during that red flag, when there was a beach worth of speedy dry in turns three and four, I couldn't believe it. But NBC, if anybody wasn't watching it, NBC went to Christopher Bell, who went from the lead to fourth, and interviewed him during the red flag. And I was astounded by that choice, because if I'm him, I'm not even answering. I'm not talking to
He's doing a Tony Stewart at this point.
Oh, man, I'm not talking to anyone that I'm not, contractually obligated to talk to in that moment. But he was, he's a good kid, and talked to them. And that was actually the question I asked in post-race press conference, because when he took that lead and earned that win on that final restart around Allgaier and did it cleanly. I don't care what Allgaier said. It was a clean race. They were, they were racing hard. And I asked him, I was like, how badly did you not want to talk to anyone, let alone TV, during that red flag? And he kind of laughed. And he's like, well, if anything, it allowed me to kind of get it all out and talk it through and move on. And it allowed me to refocus better, which was a pretty mature thing to say for, somebody who that young. And the kid is just going to be a star. He's in that Kyle Larson mold, Ryan Blaney mold of young racers who have a strong background and a strong upbringing in the sport. And I think he's a pure talent and can drive the wheels off of absolutely anything. Normally, I'm not the one to say that, move him up at a young age right away, but I absolutely think he would be ready right now to compete in Cup Series. I have no doubt, actually. Although it sounds like from what the news is this week, he's going to have another year of Gibbs in an Xfinity car. Gibbs better figure that out soon, because otherwise he's going to lose him. The kid is a bona fide talent and is going to win a lot of races.
Yes, very much so. And I would agree with that. You just got to find a seat, and that's sometimes harder. Not as hard as it was maybe 5-6 years ago, but not easy to find that in the Cup Series. A few more minutes here with Jeremiah Davis. And before we leave Iowa Speedway, though, great announcement this week. The fans of Iowa Speedway wanted it. IndyCar wanted it. Finally, TV signed off on it. Back to Saturday night for the IndyCar race where it belongs.
For sure.
100% agree. I think when it comes to NASCAR stuff, Iowa Speedway should always race during the day. Those races, you know, NASCAR races with the way the track wears the tires and the slip sliding that they do, 100% should be during the day. IndyCar, the exact opposite. All of the great races we've seen at Iowa Speedway have come at night. When that track cools down, you know, those guys can fly around that racetrack, and it kind of brings the feel all together, I think. At least from past experience and watching those races, I think it's a no-brainer. You know, it stinks for Knoxville, if we're being honest, because they're going to have to people are going to have to decide which one or the other they're going to go to that night. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not like Knoxville is getting Knoxville Nationals numbers on Saturday night, and it's not like Iowa Speedway is getting Knoxville Nationals numbers anyway. So I don't know that it's going to hurt either one terribly, and if anything, it's going to absolutely help Iowa Speedway. I think that's the at least moving to the night race. The only drawback, if there is one, is that there's going to be back-to-back weekends at Iowa Speedway. I'm a little nervous for them on that because, you know, discretionary income is not free-flowing, especially for race fans, and to go to races back-to-back is going to be a tall order. You know, it's going to be a pretty tough ask, I think, for the Speedway to get the same fans back-to-back en masse. It's just going to be that's an uphill battle. And I know the goal is to, you know, optimize the schedule, but for this next year, we'll see how that plays out. I know it's not the same crowd exactly, but I think it's going to affect one of the two weekends just a little bit. I'm not sure which at this point.
There you go. And great to see Joey Gase back here at Hawkeye Downs last Friday night. And he got the win in the Iowa Donor Network night race.
Yeah, a heck of a weekend for him. I mean, he starts last in the late model race and passes Griffin McGrath, who was, you know, five or six car lengths out in front of him. You know, he didn't start on the pole and lead every lap. You know, he had to run down one of the best late model drivers Hawkeye Downs has seen. And did that and passed him clean, and they raced hard against each other. I got to give Griffin a little grief after the race because they worked on the car a little bit and just didn't get it quite right. But then the next day he went to Iowa Speedway and that's the best Xfinity Series finish he's had at Iowa Speedway, best finish there. And I think maybe this is a good sign, but it was a relatively mundane day for him. It wasn't, you know, he didn't get out of the car, and it wasn't like a career best finish there. He wasn't over the moon. You know, he wanted more, expected more, and I think that's a good sign. You know, I don't know that team, that Xfinity, the Xfinity wing of Go Green Racing, which is the sort of the sister team to Go Fast Racing in the Cup Series with Matt DiBenedetto. That team's still very new, brand new for this season. They're still learning a lot, going to tracks for the first and second time now. But I think it's a good sign for their growth and his improvement, Joey's improvement, that a 17th place finish at Iowa Speedway isn't enough, and that they do expect more. I think that's a really good sign. So overall, a great weekend for him, and you know, it's always fun to win. You know, it's just always a good morale booster. A good, you know, reminds you why you love the sport.
Indeed. Well, the guys will talk with you next week. Knoxville Nationals coming around the corner and a whole lot more. So that should be fun. And it's always great when you have a rivalry between DiBenedetto and Almirola because it just rolls off the tongue like that.
You know, it's great. It's great for announcers who have to make sure they enunciate clearly and great for reporters who have to make sure they spell it clearly. It's just a win-win for everybody.
It is a win-win. Hey, Jeremiah, appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Jeremiah Davis. Read his stuff at Twitter. The Inside Track with Jeremiah Davis and his Jeremiah Davis personal account as well. Going to go to a break. Going to give you an opportunity here to win Blink 182 tickets, I guess. Or Kyle's in here. I'm sorry. Did you guys have something cooked
up?
We can get
to that after we give away the tickets. I got kind of sidetracked with Jeremiah there because
we have a news.
Urban Meyer has issued a statement regarding the situation going on at Ohio State, and we'll bring you up to date on that after we give away these tickets.
All right. 319-366-1600. Blink 182 coming to the U.S. Cellular Center on Monday, September the 24th, along with special guest state champs. That'll be at the U.S. Cellular Center. Pop punk supergroup, Blink 182. Tickets available, Ticketmaster.com, U.S. Cellular Center, I should say, box office. And for more information, go to our website at kgymradio.com. Caller 6-319-366-1600. You'll get the tickets. Back with more after this.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Now it starts at noon, and you just need to call by 11:30 to enter. The entry fee is $30, and there are no green fees. Plus, all entries are returned. Play is on a Stableford format, which gives every golfer a chance to win, regardless of ability. There will be team, individual, and skin winners. The Wednesday game is the best game in town, and it's only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
How's that Gatorade, Golic?
It's not Gatorade. Trey, it's something else.
But it looks like Gatorade.
And it definitely tastes like it as well. Even has all those electrolytes you know and love, but it's not.
I'm on pins and needles here, man. What is it then?
It's new Gatorade Zero. All the electrolytes, zero sugar.
Zero sugar? Well, that is something else.
Yep, sure is. And Gatorade Zero is available in orange, lemon lime, and glacier cherry. So go pick some up today.
If your AC is blowing hot air, let O'Reilly Auto Parts help bring back the cool this summer. While you may need to eventually service your AC unit, get immediate relief with InterDynamics Arctic Freeze R134A refrigerant with leak sealer for $32.99. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Joe in Cedar Rapids, thanks for listening, Joe. Appreciate it. And thanks to everybody for winning and calling in the Blink 182 tickets this week here in the gym class.
Does Joe strike you as a Blink 182 fan?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
Absolutely. He will enjoy the concert on the 24th. That's Monday, September the 24th. More information, go to the website, kgymradio.com. While we were talking with Jeremiah Davis, Urban Meyer released a statement, and It was not the typical two small paragraph statement, guys. And Kyle, I know you have it here.
Yep.
Are you going to read it verbatim?
Yeah, for sure. All right, from Urban Meyer himself. Dear Buckeye Nation, my heart is heavy today as I witness the toll that events of the past week have taken on the Buckeye family and the university community that I love so dearly. When I stand before the 105 young men in our football program and talk about core values and doing the right thing and respecting women, it is not lip service. I genuinely believe that we have an obligation to help develop the young men in our charge into positive change agents, and that responsibility rests with me. Over the past several days, I've been portrayed as being indifferent to domestic violence and as someone who did not take appropriate action when warranted. While over three decades of coaching, I have learned to ignore how others define me, I do feel it necessary to share the truth with the Buckeye family. Here's the truth. While at the University of Florida and now at the Ohio State University, I have always followed proper reporting protocols and procedures when I have learned of an incident involving a student athlete, coach, or member of our staff by elevating the issues to the proper channels. And I did so regarding the Zach Smith incident in 2015. I take that responsibility very seriously, and any suggestion to the contrary is simply false. The power of what I say and how I say it, especially regarding sensitive and serious domestic issues, has never been more evident than now. My words, whether in a reply to a reporter's question or in addressing a personnel issue, must be clear, compassionate, and most of all, completely accurate. Unfortunately, at Big Ten Media Days on July 24th, I failed on many of these fronts. My intention was not to say anything inaccurate or misleading. However, I was not adequately prepared to discuss these sensitive personnel issues with the media, and I apologize for the way I handled those questions. I understand that there are more questions to be answered, and I look forward to doing just that with the independent investigators retained by the university, and I will cooperate fully with them. At the appropriate time, I will also address the questions and speculation in a public forum. But for now, out of respect for the ongoing inquiry, I will refrain at this time. Please know that the truth is the ultimate power, and I am confident that I took appropriate action. As I stated above, I deeply regret if I have failed in my words. As the son of an amazing woman and the husband to another, and as the father of two incredible young women, those who know me best know the admiration and respect I have for all women. Our core values are just that, values that do not ever waver. I ask that you continue to support the incredible coaches and student athletes in our program, and I look forward to rejoining them soon. Sincerely, Urban.
There you go. That's his statement out there. Mark, you had a couple of things that really stood out to you in the statement.
Well, it may appear sincere, but in my mind, he admits to following protocol, in his mind, including the incident in 2015 with Zach Smith.
Yep, he knew.
By the same token, a day after he fired Zach Smith, which he knew the reasons for, the day after he stands up at Big Ten Football Media Days and basically said he didn't know much about it. And that doesn't fly with me. He said earlier in that paragraph, he must be clear. Or what was that paragraph? Must be clear about his intentions of what he says. He wasn't clear what he said at Big Ten Football Media Days. And to say he wasn't prepared the day before he fired Zach Smith. He knew why he fired him.
He had to have known there was going to be a question on why he fired a coach. Put it this way. If Kirk Ferentz fired an assistant coach, would the Iowa media want to know why? And that was the first chance they had to talk with him. Of course they're going
to
ask that question.
Kirk Ferentz fired John Doe the day before Big Ten Football Media Days, he would know why he fired him.
Better know why.
And if Kirk Ferentz says it's a personnel matter, I choose not to talk about it, that's one thing. But to say I didn't know anything about it, Urban, I don't believe you.
He also said that he followed protocol, and does that include in 2009 when basically it was all taken care of.
Why did he hire this guy when he had a problem in 2009?
Because he's Earl Bruce's grandson. So, I think there are a lot of holes in that. I think it's sincere, but I think there are holes in it.
Mike from Marengo on the text line, that statement is so full of BS and dancing around the bush, it makes me almost want to puke. That guy is worse than a politician. And we're not going to get into politics here, but I appreciate the comment. 8650, sounds like he's throwing the higher-ups at OSU under the bus. This is going to get messy. What did you guys think of the statement?
I thought...
We haven't had a lot of time to digest it, but those things popped up to me.
There are too many holes in it. Like you brought up the 2009, the 2015. I don't buy for a second that he was going to Big Ten Media Day without thinking that he was going to get this question from anyone. I mean, that's silly. I mean, you and I and Kyle and Todd and Alex, when we go into a day at work, even here, and it's apples and oranges, but we know exactly what we're going to encounter during the day and how we're going to deal with it. I think there's too many holes in this.
I thought, to put it out, it's better than to stay silent, because at least with some people, you're going to get some people who say, okay, he took responsibility, but, you know, I had read it one time before I came in here and read it, and then just as I was reading it the second way through, Mark's totally right. It sounds somewhat genuine. It sounds like he's sort of taking responsibility for mishandling things at Big Ten Media Days, but if you actually kind of pay attention to what he's saying, it's just a further admission of guilt, because, you know, like you guys have pointed out, to say that you're not prepared for that question, you know, How's that even possible? But then when you look what he said, you know, in this statement here, he's saying he knew what was going on.
He's saying he's indifferent. He's not. He's been portrayed as being indifferent to domestic violence. Well, I don't pretend to know what's in Urban Meyer's head, but actions speak louder than words, do they not?
Yeah, and he's saying at Big Ten Media Day, he said, who would make that up? Who would make up a story like that? I don't know anything about it. And then in this one, he's saying, you know, I did know about it. I even reported it like I'm supposed to. So that's a flat out, he flat out lied at Big Ten Media Day, which we kind of knew, but now we definitely know.
And he's kind of making it sound like, oh, I'm apologizing for, he's trying to, if you will, take the spotlight, oh, I screwed up at Big Ten Media Day, and shift it away a little bit.
That's exactly right.
So, not buying it, Urban.
Well, he says, I failed on many of these fronts, speaking about Big Ten football media days and the Zach Smith situation. My intention was not to say anything inaccurate or misleading. However, I was not adequately prepared to discuss these sensitive personal issues with the media. Well, you could have said, this is a personnel matter. I choose not to talk about it at this time. Don't tell me you don't know anything about it.
He said the exact opposite of the truth, which, I mean, not being prepared, I mean, that's one thing. But to say the whole opposite of the truth, that's more than being unprepared.
Should we accept Urban Meyer's apology?
Well, wasn't an apology. I guess it was an apology for Big Ten Media Day.
Yes, he says, I apologize for the way I handled those questions.
I would almost
say that's the only thing he apologizes for.
I'd classify this as a statement of regret more than an apology. He knows he's in trouble.
He's trying to lessen the severity of what's going to happen to Urban Meyer at the Ohio State University.
I think it's an interesting point that you made, too. At PR 101, he's trying to make it about the Big Ten, what he said at the Big Ten, rather than the whole scandal. Very clever.
To a lesser extent, if somebody asked me why is Scott Unash gone next week, I don't know. I damn well know why you're gone.
And you would very much expect.
I want
that
to apologize
question.
Right now for the way I handle myself in that line of questioning.
319-366-1600. Oh my dear. Okay, we'll talk more about that, Urban Meyer. Now, Alex and Kyle have some more stuff to talk about from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock before we get you to Twins baseball tonight on 107.5 FM. Stay tuned. Gym Class being presented by Third Base Brewery, coming your way for a Friday here on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Heading west? Great. Get there nonstop from the Eastern Iowa Airport. If the mountains are calling your name, you want Frontier Airlines nonstop flight from Cedar Rapids to Denver. Take advantage of Frontier's low fares done right and book now at flyfrontier.com. And if sunny LA is beckoning, you still have time to take advantage of Allegiant Air's nonstop flight from Cedar Rapids to LAX, but only through August 11th. So book now at AllegiantAir.com. Go west from the Eastern Iowa Airport. More trip, less travel. Fly CID.
At Z102.9,
The Gym,
and Smart FM,
we live local.
Every morning I grab a cappuccino from a local coffee shop.
Keep my hair looking sharp at the local stylist.
Stay in shape at the local gym.
Hang out with my friends at the local sports bar.
Take my daughter to local shows.
Play golf at the local course.
Keep my money in a local bank.
Share what I've got with local charities.
Spend local.
Source local.
Love local.
Live local.
We're local radio stations. Join us and put your money where your heart is.
Doing HVAC work has given you some good opportunities. Now, how about an even better one? Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is looking to represent residential commercial HVAC workers. Being with 263 means you're part of the union, and union jobs offer better pay, better benefits, and better job security. Those are things that mean a better life using the skills you already have. Work with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263. Give Rick a call at 319-721-9414. 319-721-9414.
If you have unpaid tax debt to the IRS that you can't pay, please hear this special notice. Specially approved IRS relief programs designed to aid delinquent taxpayers are now in effect that can significantly improve your financial situation. Depending on your circumstances, you may qualify to have your tax problem resolved in your favor and may even have your back taxes reduced by thousands or eliminated entirely. A relief hotline has been established by Community Tax for you to call and see if you qualify at 800-315-3940. If you owe the IRS back taxes that you can't afford to pay, don't let the IRS trick you into thinking you have no way out. Our highly accredited tax professionals will let you know what you qualify for and how much you can save. We may be able to stop all liens, garnishments, levies, and save you thousands. Call and see if you qualify for this taxpayer relief at 800-315-3940. 800-315-3940. That's 800-315-3940.
Coming up on 355 here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. More on the Urban Meyer statement coming your way on the Todd Rumblecamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann sitting in today. Text line open at 319-366-1600. The Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. A lot of people weighing in as far as Urban Meyer's statement is concerned, and I don't think it has gone over very well. At least outside of Columbus and outside of Buckeye Nation. Buckeye Nation was saying that this was a non-issue, basically, even before the statement came out. I would imagine he's back in the good graces now for people wearing scarlet and gray.
What does Urban Meyer need more, a lawyer or a PR firm?
Good question. Very good question. And right now it's PR firm, but it could end up being a lawyer if things accelerate, like some people are saying that they are going to accelerate in Columbus at this time. As of right now, he is still the head coach, although he is on administrative paid leave. Now, kind of buried today, Matt Campbell, Iowa State's coach, started camp. Met the reporters prior to camp and had to give a two-minute statement on exactly his doings with Ohio State.
I think he handled it perfectly.
I thought he handled it very, very well, and I know that Alex and Kyle will play the audio from that coming up during their show. We were going to get to it, but then Urban Meyer released a statement. And Matt Campbell basically said, guys, Urban Meyer's a coach at Ohio State. I'm the coach at Iowa State. Nobody has said anything to me. Nobody has offered anything to me. I'm not going to say anything at this point. And, of course, everyone around the country is saying he's sidestepping the issue.
No, he isn't.
No, he's not. There's nothing to say at this point if you're Matt Campbell. What are you going to say? Oh, gosh, this would be great.
Yeah.
What's that do to his Iowa State football team at this present time? Or if he says, he said everything he should say today. And you'll hear from Matt Campbell coming up in just a little bit before 7 o'clock tonight. So, yeah, like I said, there is no statement that can be made as far as Matt Campbell is concerned that's going to satisfy everybody.
Avoid it right now.
Yeah.
Until and if it's an issue.
Iowa State started camp. Iowa started camp. Ohio State started camp. Sans Urban Meyer. Most every college program starting camp. Week away from Iowa Football Media Day. Those are going to be coming up rapidly here in the next week to 10 days or so. You guys are going to have, coming up on Monday, you're going to talk some football, a little baseball coming up on Tuesday. I'll be gone next week. You guys keep the ship afloat. I know you will. And I'll be back a week from Monday ready to go.
You will indeed. Good guest list next week. And looking forward to working with Kyle and looking forward to you getting rested up and coming back a week from Monday.
Yeah, looking forward to that as well. All right, stay cool out there over the weekend. The guys will talk to you again on Monday at 3. Stay tuned. More Urban Meyer talk with Alex and Kyle coming up.
Introducing new LifeProof slip-resistant wood-look porcelain tile from the Home Deep.